The Greek word race here is the word agon, A-G-O-N. And it's translated as a conflict and a fight. It's the same word that Paul uses in 1 Timothy 6:12 when he says, fight the good fight of faith. And when he says in 2 Timothy 4, and he says, I have fought the fight, I've finished the race. So, why does he use the word fight there? And it's the same word that he used when he talked about so great a conflict I have in Philippians 1 verse 30. The conflict that he feels within him, that fight. And that means, in point number 3, that there are some sacrifices that we need to make to achieve the goal. And he did talk about the sacrifices in chapter 12. He says here that let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And so number 1, we discover our destiny. Number 2, we learn not to be too affected or worried by what we need to do to achieve that. But we learn to take it one step at a time. Like an old Chinese saying that says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with your first step. And you just do it step by step. And you read the explorers. I read one story of how they survived the North Pole. One of the explorers, they said, there were times that they were so weary that all they could concentrate on is just getting through the day. Yeah. And they live each day and they know that they have traveled that distance. But in the end, they made it. The third point is their choices to make. Because our time is all the same, 24 hours. And you choose what to do with that amount of your time. Sometimes you choose to let go certain weights that are there. And you choose your priorities. What is important to you at that time? To the world, the second point, when they say, oh, if this was the last day of my life, what will I do? Well, they eat, drink, and be merry. But to Christians, when this is, let's say, the last day of your life, you'll be using it to do God's work. You'll be using it to share your love to your loved ones. You'll be using it to prepare yourselves to meet your Maker face to face. And so to do that, sometimes it means giving up some things and adding things to your life. And it says some of the weights that he talks about, they have to let go. The thing that easily ensnares us or trap us. And small little things that would weigh you down and make your job much harder. And so there's a little story of how a group of people were traveling on a camp. And so when they all, it was a camping party, and all of them, the school students have to choose what they have to carry. Each one of them had a part. And then every one of them make their choice, and one of them chose to carry one of the biggest bags around. Food. And but it was a long journey that they were traveling, so each one was responsible. And so he chose to carry food. Some of them chose this equipment, this tent equipment, all that, right? So this person chose to carry the food, which was one of the biggest. But over the next 60 days, his one got lighter and lighter and lighter. But everybody else remains the same. Each day, his burden got lighter. Towards the end of that time, he was carrying nothing. And everyone said, you're smart, you have chosen that one. So sometimes, when you make the right choices, and the burdens get less and less because you have used them up. Talk about use them up. The difference between producing a quality job, a quality decision, and a decision that is not good quality. The difference between being the best and being second best sometimes is in a little difference you make. The little difference you make. Small little changes. Like when you do something for the Lord. Personally, when I want to do something for the Lord, I want it to be the best. And if you look at it, sometimes the best and the second best is a different thing. Just small little changes that you make. It could be when you do a magazine, it could be the difference between the typeface you choose, the arrangement of the graphics. The same information can be given to each one of us. But how the information is arranged can make the difference between the worst and the best. Presentation. And so, all of us have the same amount of energy. What happens is, when you don't have what we call focus, the energy gets dissipated into different areas. And when Russia became a free country, and you know how Russia has produced some of these gymnasts and all these things, and in a Reader Digest years ago, they were asking, how come they don't have these people anymore? Not just because there was a state system and support, but the Russian trainer says, well, now the little kids have so many things to do. Before, all they had was this and maybe one or two other choices. But now he says, even though they have the talent and the gift, the trainer says, they got this Nintendo things to do, PlayStation, they got this new thing, they got this TV show, they got that on, and it's sucking their energy and their time. And he says, it's much harder now to get them to concentrate on their gifting, to produce the champions that they should be, even if they're prodigies. And so he was describing how difficult it was because of the distraction around. In a free country, he says. And not to say that it was not good, it was good to be free. And the thing about being a free country is this. When you make a choice, your choice is a quality decision because you had the option not to choose that. And in a sense, you will become stronger Christians. One of the things we found between Asia and a free country is this, that in Asia, because the governments, some of them, like the country you come from, is Muslim government, a lot of things are banned for you. The decision is made for you by the government. Even in Singapore, what is good, what is bad. And so you don't have those choices. And so a Christian growing up in that environment outwardly looks strong and good because he's pious. He doesn't go for the wrong things around and doesn't go for pornography or all those things. Although if he wants to underground, he can. But generally, he's not exposed. Whereas in a free country, your choice is there. And they look strong, but many of them, when they go to visit a free country or they migrate, they become hooked to the wrong things because they have never had to make those decisions. And even though they look like strong Christians, yet they are actually weak because they have never been tested. Now the difference is the potential in a free country is that you can be stronger even than those areas. Because you're unprotected, therefore you need to protect thyself in God. And so when you make the choice to say, no, I'm going to live this kind of Christian life here. I'm going to live this quality Christian life. And you make those choices. Inwardly, there's a strength in you that no amount of Christian nurturing in Asia could give you. Because you're free to make that decision and you choose no. And the choice keep presenting themselves every day and you say, no. I want to do the right thing in God. And so it will produce a more powerful level of Christianity. Which is why we should treasure freedom. In a free country, you can actually be a quality Christian, much stronger than a Christian untested, in a protected environment. However, because of those choices, the potential to also be distracted is there. And so it's important that we learn to make those choices from inside and not from outside. And that's one of the greatest lessons in life. In life, we learn that unless you make your own rules from inside with God's help, one day somebody will make that rule for you. A criminal has made a rule in himself that hurts others. And in the end, when a criminal is caught, other people make the rule and impose that on him. It would be far better that in life we learn to make those rules from inside ourselves. And we live by those internal rules, we become stronger people. And that takes focus. What would you do between now to Jesus coming in your Christian life? What would you choose? Let's take it this way. We really, really, really are all going to meet Jesus face to face. Sometimes that doesn't feel like it when you're distracted in this life. What would you do in your life now? What changes would you make if you knew you're going to meet Jesus in the next 5, 10, 20 years? What changes would you make? For some of you, you have lived your life in God and you say, not much. Excellent. For some others, maybe you say, well, maybe I should look into this area more and pull my socks up on this area, roll back my sleeves in this area. Perhaps. Then it's good that we let that process slowly sink into us. Because the only real person that can make you a champion, just like out there, the only real person who can make the Olympic champions the champions they are, is they themselves. You can have the best trainer, the best setup, the best support, but it's their decision whether they want it or not. The same way, you and I one day will be facing God in a big ceremony up there. When all that we live for, all we have sacrificed, all you have given up for, all you have prayed for, is finally recognized, rewarded by God in the presence of thousands of witnesses. It will all be worth it. And we ask ourselves a question. Only you and I can make ourselves and bring ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit in God's Word to that situation. If you think like a champion, you will perform like a champion. But if you start thinking like a defeated person, we will be defeated even before we start. So only you and I can make those choices to think differently, to perform differently, to choose differently in God. Praise God. Let's pray.